I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Wednesday at 4, our guy, Brian Baldinger, joins us. Our Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or local grocery store. Baldy, what up?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What up, Baldy?
So before we get into Eagles specifics, from a big picture standpoint, what do you think of Nick Sirianni as a head football coach?
Well, he was, look, why in the world would any coach in any sport get into it with your home fans during a game? Not after you won a game and you're walking off the field and people are harassing you, but during a game, I've never seen anybody do that. Like, it just seems silly to me. Like, the concentration should be on your team, period. And making sure you guys are executing the way, you know, you're coached and practiced to do it. But getting into it with fans during a game just seems like it's a sideshow that is, I don't know how anybody would tolerate it.
Yeah, he seems like
it's a distraction, Baldy. I mean, yeah. That's what it becomes, a distraction.
Well, it is, Ike. But what coach, I mean, you've been around this game forever, right? What coach does that?
None.
Like, it just seems like, does that, if the idea is to, motivate your team or something like that. Well, there's ways to motivate your team, but that doing that with fans and the fans that honestly deserve to boo you on Sunday. It was a, nobody was happy with that performance. I think Lane Johnson said the offense is constipated right now. I think that's the word he used.
He did.
I might be wrong about that.
No, that was the word he used. Yep.
It's the word he used. So, I mean, his own team thinks like we're not executing. We're not very dynamic at this point.
Well, that's a good lead into the question, because Lane had his way of describing it. I think we sort of watch it, and it feels like they are almost offensively are almost stuck in mud, and there's not very much rhythm to it. When you're looking at the Eagles' offense, what sticks out to you as the reason that they are not as dynamic as we expected them to be?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't know if there's another. There's a lot of bad football in this league right now, but I don't know if any team in this league has yet to score in the first quarter. Like, what in the world are you doing on Fridays and Saturdays except kind of reviewing your script to go out and execute? So, like, it starts off slow, punt. Okay, that seems like that's the start every week. A lot of times it's not even a first down in the first quarter. So it would be good if they started fast. And then, it helps that A.J. and Devontae are back in the lineup. They're difference makers. It hurts that you lose your star tight end. That hurts. But at the same time, it looks awfully stale. Like you watch all these other games in this league, and you see creativity, you see design, you see things that jumpstart your offense. You don't really see much of that right now.
Now, what do you think that? What would you attribute that to? Is that Kellen Moore? Has he watered down the offense, dialed it back? And if so, why do you think that's them trying to fit Jalen into an area where he's comfortable running the offense? Like, why do you think it sort of looks like a similar offense that we've seen the last few years? Or do you think Coach Sirianni is involved? Yeah.
But it sounds like they take a great deal of input from Jalen and what he likes. Mm. So a lot of that has remained, whether it's RPOs, design quarterback runs. And let's face it, he doesn't look like the same runner from 2 years ago. Now, I don't know why that is, but I mean, it's just the eye test. He doesn't look as dynamic. He still gets some first downs. He gains some yards, but nothing like he did 2 years ago when he ran for 15 touchdowns and nobody seemed to be able to catch him. Like, they're flattening him to the sideline. So, but it seems like there's a lot of Jalen in this offense, which is okay. You want your quarterback to feel comfortable, but you don't see a lot of creativity to it right now, whether it's the creativity in the screen game. I mean, you can watch. I'm doing Kansas City, San Francisco on Sunday. I know right now I'm going to see probably a different screen than Andy Reid has run in 25 years. He's going to take her and come up with something new. And you know Kyle Shanahan's going to do the same. And so you're used to seeing that from other teams. Maybe they're just trying to figure out, now that they got the receivers back, trying to figure out what they're good at right now, since they played a couple games without him, and they're still trying to build this thing right now.
Yeah, I think the big question for all of us is when we're thinking about this and in terms of them fitting it into Jalen. So they're last in the league in throwing the ball in the middle of the field. They're last in the league in snaps under center. And I think there's sort of this rubber meets the road moment where is Jalen not comfortable doing those things, or is he not capable? And if it's the latter, then how do you have an offense that scores, you know, 30 points a game, regardless of the weapons? And I think we're all just trying to figure out, is it Kellen Moore not being creative enough, or is he limited by what Jalen is able to do? And that question being, is it able or is it comfortable? Which are the two things? And I think that's what we're all trying to resolve.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's a good question. It's the right question to ask. Because I don't know if any of us know the answer unless you're in those game plan meetings or quarterback meetings right now and you're putting this thing together on a Tuesday or a Monday night, whatever. So, but you hope that if you pay the quarterback to be a franchise quarterback, that he can read what's happening in the middle of the field and layer the ball the way the good quarterbacks have to layer the ball. I mean, that's where you want to attack. You want to attack the middle of the field. There's no sideline. There's none of that. Like, you've got room to run after the catch. All these things that are necessary to be a diverse offense. So, you know, I hope that his eyes are in the right place. The line has protected him exceedingly well. I mean, you didn't really hear Myles Garrett's name last week or Za'Darius Smith's name last week. They didn't throw it a lot, but they didn't run it well either. So, you know, they ran some plays, honestly, last week that I just scratched my head going, you're not allowed to run that play and not account for Myles Garrett. Like, you can't run counter Trey to the right and not anybody account for Myles Garrett. He'll make the play every time, and he did every time. And I just go, like, maybe they came in wrong, maybe it was called wrong, but I know this. Anybody that runs that play, the most important factor in the play is making sure that backside defensive end is accounted for. And they didn't do it, so... You know, I mean, Saquon takes a 2-yard loss. It seems kind of silly to me. Mm.
So Brian Baldinger with us, joins us every Wednesday at 4. So we have the Giants on Sunday, who don't have a great record, but seem pretty scrappy, actually. You know, they've competed. Defensively, what are we looking at competing against Eagles offense versus the Giants defense?
Well, they played great the last 2 weeks. I mean, great football. They went up to Seattle and just smothered them. I mean, they got after Geno Smith. They sacked him 8 times. You know, Dexter Lawrence has 7 sacks. But last week, I thought Brian Burns played his best game he's played in years. Azeez Ojulari was almost unblockable. And this is Joe Burrow. They basically held a 35-point offense to 10 points until the final run in the last minute of the game. But, I mean, they played exceedingly well. The Shane Bowen's a new defensive coordinator. He's not like Wink Martindale. He doesn't blitz every play. But when he does, it's pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside guys, now you're going to have Fred Johnson at left tackle. He's going to see a pretty dynamic Brian Burns. He's a good football player. And he was dominant last week. So, I mean, they're going to see good heat off the edge. They got a dominant interior player in Dexter Lawrence that Cam Jurgens hasn't seen yet this season. Anybody like him? So, I mean, they've got talent on that side of the ball. They played very well the last 2 weeks. You can't say it. They should have won that game last week. Unfortunately for the Giant fans, the quarterback was awful, and he couldn't make a single play or a read. He was just awful. And so I don't know what Daniel Jones you're going to get this week. Because the week before, he was pretty good against Seattle.
Yep.
The other thing they were able to do against Cincinnati is they were able to keep Ja'Marr Chase from killing them. Yep. And, you know, one thing that the Eagles were able to take advantage of against Cleveland is they were – you know, AJ Brown basically had man on him, and they're gonna put guys over AJ Brown. The Giants will. So if that's Jalen's comfort, you know, the security blanket, he's not. I don't think they're gonna be able to just throw the ball deep on the, you know, on the sides of the field to AJ Brown in the same way they were able to against the Browns.
Well, I mean, I like the matchup of AJ against Deontay Banks or against Adoree Jackson or Cardell Float. Like, I like the matchup. If they're one-on-one like that and they're blitzing, I'd throw it up there to them, let them go get it myself. But, you know, but they got to be, you know, I mean, Saquon's obviously, you know, a big story this week. I'm sure he wants to have a great game. He's coming off his worst game last week, where they just really couldn't figure out a run that they were good. Now, Cleveland's a good front, but you're going to get, you know, presented some of the same issues this week. So, I mean, I would think that they'd want to get the running game going and get Saquon going. So I think that's, I mean, that would be the priority. And specifically, if I was attacking, you know, this Giants defense, I would get my outside zone stretch run going. I would attack Ojulari or Kayvon or Burns. I'd make them play the run and just stretch them. I mean, that's what Lane's best at. The guards are good enough to move. I think it probably helps Fred out if you run those type of plays. So I would think that would be a priority play for him this week.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a weird feeling with this game this week, Baldy. Saquon going back to face his old team. I know he wants to play well and wants to do well, and I'm sure the Eagles wouldn't mind him doing well. I'm not so sure how much they're going to go out of their way to try to feature him. But I'm looking at this thing from a Giants standpoint, yep. And as a Giants defense, they're going to be pretty fired up Sunday to make sure Saquon doesn't have a big day.
Oh, I'm sure. No, the defense is playing good, Ike.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you beat them or you run for a lot of yards just because you executed, they're not giving you anything.
Yeah.
They're good. That Chain Bone is a good coach. Honestly, like, if Malik Nabers plays, it does change the game for the Giants. He's been out 2 weeks in a row with a concussion, but that's as good a receiver as I saw in the league the first 4 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Baldy. Well, one of these days.
And it's only a 3.5-point line.
Yeah, no, it's down to 3.
Oh, God, it's down to 3.
Down to 3.
It's going the other way.
Just, I mean, they get two starters back, and now you lose, you know, you lose Mailata and you lose Goddard.
Yep.
You lose a lot with those two players now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Baldy. There he is. Yeah. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
Mayo game
mayo,
day.
Get it?
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Hey, you're a big mayo guy.
I hate mayo, but I guess I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't mean the listener can love mayo just because you don't.
We haven't done a whole lot of into the game. It's only Wednesday, and we got a couple more days. But man,
this is a scary game.
Yeah, well, because I'm looking at, I'm thinking, if I'm the Giants and he's coming here, the Eagles may wind up beating us, but he ain't beating us.
If I'm
the Giants, that's the way I'm looking at it. As a defense, as a defensive player, you're saying there's no way I'm letting Saquon come in here and run up and down the field.
Well, and if they commit to that defensively, which is, by the way, what Cleveland did, mm-hmm. I mean, we just have to do a better job in the air of moving the ball.
Yes.
Because we can say commit to run all we want, but if they're stacking the box, it just doesn't matter. You know, it's not going
to matter. The Eagles were still forced to make plays through the air.
Yep, and the thing I was asking Baldy about as far as A.J. Brown is, like, they're going to put more than one safety up there.
Yes.
So there's going to be somebody over the top of A.J. Brown all the time, and there wasn't that against the Browns. Mm-hmm. So it's just, they're going to have to be better. They are a far more talented team than New York Giants, and it says a lot about what, you know, we were shocked at the 9.5-point line against the Browns. But
I may be more shocked at this one.
Well, but,
and it's going the other way. It could be 2.5 by Sunday.
Well, this line sort of shows you that maybe Vegas watched the Eagles finally.
They actually watched that game.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm worried about is the defensively, if Malik Nabers gets cleared, whatever the over is on Malik Nabers' yards, take it. Take it. They have one target, and he's going to have 150 yards against us.
I will say, though, I am excited because I think he is going to play Sunday.
Yeah.
Because we're going to see this kid twice a year for the next decade almost.
He is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to get him going up against Q,
it'd be fun.
It was two rookies, first rounders.
It's
a good test for Quinyon Mitchell.
Well, per Elliott Shore Parks, Darius Slay.
He may be back this week.
Practiced today.
Oh, well,
he
that's
was
good,
on the
dude.
Practice.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well,
he might watch tape
a banged up Slay on Malik Nabers.
He might watch tape of Malik Nabers, and that knee might need another week. I think 215-592-9494. VP Kimberly, you're on WIP. What's up, VP?
Hey, guys.
Hold on. This is VP that's on a two-game winning streak.
She is. She beat me.
I just beat Spike, and I have Jack this weekend, but I'm not getting carried away. I got a big hole to dig out of, but I'm coming. I'm coming, so we'll see. I need to start out by saying happy birthday to the president that made me the VP.
There he is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And then this Knicks stuff. I mean, the guys that were calling yesterday saying, "Oh, we needed to run more last week." We ran 59% last week. How much more do you want to run? But
yep.
The Knicks stuff today is making me a little bit more crazy because, you know, Nick has a 66% win percentage in his lifetime, and this season is about that. We're just under that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 11 games a season, every season. He's made the playoffs every year that he has been our coach. He has the third highest win percentage of all active coaches right now. The only people ahead of him are Jim Harbaugh and Matt LaFleur. Like, he is a good coach. He's a bozo sometimes and doesn't act great, but I think we had a rough start again. I'm a broken record over here, but we had a rough start. It's starting to get a little better, at least on offense. The defense is still struggling, but the offense is starting to get better. And yet everybody,
hasn't the defense kind of outperformed the offense so far this year?
It didn't feel like it this past weekend.
Well, they didn't allow a touchdown.
They've had two excellent defensive games, and I would say one excellent offensive game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, we've also had, I would say, the offense has never been really bad. They've gone from mediocre to good, and the defense has been bad.
Yeah, I'm with
anyway,
you. Let's not quibble with the VP.
Yeah, I guess my point on Nick's winning percentage is they could lose the next three in a row, and he would still have a great winning percentage, and none of us would agree
right.
that things were going well. So I think while all of that matters, I think we have to live in the most recent, you know, I think the way that the second half of last year went and then the start of this year, I appreciate your being positive on Nick and being open to him, you know, because you're in and you never went out. But I think the winning part of it and looking good is eventually going to have to be more than the entire, you know,
body of work.
His entire body of work, because
yeah.
it's not a long enough body of work to just say that he has this great winning percentage. You know,
I agree. If we lose the next three games, it's all bets are off.
Okay, all right.
But you know, again, 66% is 11 games a year. So we won 11 last year, and how we did it was terrible. But we won 11 last year. We won 14 the year before that. We are currently on track to win 11. I just think it is. He makes some dumb choices in how he behaves, but I think for people to lose faith in him as a coach over some of those things, and that's generally what appears to happen often. He is a goofball in some other way, and then everyone thinks he can't coach. I don't know what will happen with the new, you know, OC and DC this year. I don't know what will happen, but I'm not ready to give up.
All right. Next question today is based on Bryce Harper's birthday, not Ike's, because
mine.
We weren't supposed to be doing Ike birthday stuff all day long. It is for a pair of tickets to go see the Flyers home opener. You can buy tickets at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. The question is, who's a guy? Like, who's your go-to guy? So what do you got?
I can't go to the game, but George Clooney in Ocean's, especially in Ocean's 11, is the coolest guy ever.
George Clooney is sort of, it was Harrison Ford for a while, I think, and George Clooney has sort of assumed the Harrison Ford title of, you know, cool, sexy, older guy or whatever, right? It's Clooney. He's the new guy.
Yeah.
He's
Silver
so
Fox.
Smooth.
Yep.
In the Ocean's movies, he is so smooth. So,
And you normally don't go from TV to the big screen,
right,
and it works.
Grey's Anatomy. That's you know, all time show. All right, Kimberly.
All right, VP.
See you.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
The Sirianni win percentage stuff is starting to sound a little bit like the people that defended Chip Kelly. Like, Chip Kelly had a good winning percentage as Eagles head coach. Now he didn't go 6-9, but it just, like, the winning percentage is fine. It can't be the end all be all for me.
Well, it's not ultimately, you're saying for you, which I understand, you need more. But for a lot of people, winning is all that matters, or matters the most, I should say. Obviously, the way the coach behaves or carries himself or represents the organization certainly matters to most fans. But for most fans, if you're winning, they are okay with you.
Yeah, I think the winning percentage thing provides context that, hey, it's not his first year. He's had success. Mm-hmm. It's good to know that. But I think there's been a long enough period between a good portion of last year and the beginning of this year, just seeing the team not look good enough, given the talent that's on the field.
Yeah, and he needs to do better. I think where people go with the winning percentage stuff is when, and not with you, but with others, some, when they go over the top with the criticism. He's an idiot. He shouldn't be a coach. You know, all those things. Then what is someone supposed to go to defend him?
Yes, I agree.
I mean,
they're
going to say, they're going to look at his track record and say, because here's the other thing. There are a lot of smart guys that call plays that don't win as much as Nick Sirianni.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, there are a lot of those guys in the NFL, too.
Absolutely. So, speaking of smart guys, we had to take the week off last week of Eagles Inside of the Year power rankings because we had to go lose to the friggin' Mets. And I, honestly,
and
if I had
we were on a bye week.
Yeah, but we still had Insider of the Year.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Can't slow down. This hype train.
There's always Insider.
They're always listening.
We did it in July, you know. So.
And we do actually call it Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yes.
Not just Insider of
correct.
The Year.
Correct. So. Okay. And if I had to do it all over again, rather than watch Game 4, I would have just done Eagles Insider of the Year last week. But the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings return next. Do we have a new number one? Do we have a new person in the top five? Mm-hmm. Has somebody dropped out of the top five for maybe being a little too critical of WIP personalities? We will find out next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.